It's our crest, our coat of arms, and what it means to wear it.
Binsky will take the tap and ahead for Nudibara out to the neutral zone, finding Foligno.
It's when we dig deep.
Foligno's got help on the rush.
At the right moment.
And he drops it back for Dubinsky over to Savard. He shoots and scores!
It's our blue, and out of our blue, we rise.
Head to BlueJackets.com for tickets, news, and more.
Now, the Buckeye Extra Podcast with Rob Aller, Bill Rabinowitz, and Joey Kaufman from the Columbus Dispatch.
The Buckeye Extra Podcast is made possible by Rosati Windows, Central Ohio's number one replacement window company, and Raising Cane's Chicken Fingers, proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics. Hello, everybody. You are listening to another episode of the Buckeye Extra Football Podcast. This is Joey Kaufman from the Columbus Dispatch, joined by Rob Aller and Bill Rabinowitz, my colleagues. We're here to preview college football playoff quarterfinals. Memphis is coming to Columbus this weekend, playing the CFP quarterfinals. Actually, no, we don't have an 8-team playoff. We have a 4-team playoff.
Are you kidding me?
We are going to go through the motions and preview the Big Ten championship game. Ohio State and Wisconsin, because we have to do this.
When
we
you have give, this to, is what happens. You give the controls to the Southern Californian.
I'm sorry. I just can't.
The child.
Keep going. You're on a roll.
We really have to do this. We have to talk about this game. We know Ohio State is the best team in the Big Ten, and we are going to give you stories, and we are going to talk about the Ohio State-Wisconsin game like it matters. But in reality, we don't need conference championship games this weekend. It would be fun if we had a playoff game this weekend.
Here's the deal, Joey. I respectfully disagree with you. People think Ohio State's a lock to get in. They still have to take care of business. If they were to lose to Wisconsin, especially lose badly, which I don't expect to happen at all. I expect them to win. But if they were to, and Georgia beats LSU in a close game, and it's no sure thing Ohio State gets in. Georgia's in. Clemson's in. I'm assuming that they win. And then it's two spots for several teams. So it does matter. I mean, Ohio State's sitting pretty right now, no question. But it's not a lock. Rob?
Well, here's what I would have to say. If they lose, do they deserve to be in? If your mindset, and there are a lot of people out there that believe this, and I might be one of them, actually, that you need to be a conference champion to be considered for the playoff. If that's your take, and you believe that, what if Ohio State loses? In good conscience, unless you're a waffler, which according to my Twitter poll, there are a lot of those. I'll get to that in a second. How do you justify Ohio State making it if you were a believer that the conference championship should be like number one or very high priority? Now, the committee has said four best teams, so that gives the committee an out, and the committee always wants that out. But let me just read off quickly a poll I had on Twitter, which was...
You did another Twitter poll this week?
Yeah, I did. Curious, if you previously insisted that only the conference champs should be considered for a 4-team playoff, previously, if that's what the position you held, where do you stand if Ohio State loses to Wisconsin? Okay, this is where it gets interesting. Buckeyes should be out. 36%. I think that's kind of high. This is a couple hundred votes. 36% think the Buckeyes should be out if they lose. Exception to every rule is 35%. There's an exception to every rule.
Yeah,
and then
Buckeye
the last
fans.
One, let me finish this. And then they should be in. I changed my mind. So the wafflers, when it's your team, you conveniently change the rules. But does it surprise you that 36% would think that Ohio State should be out?
People will rationalize their decisions based on what they want. That's
right,
what
but these
it is
are Buckeye everything. Fans. This is meant for Buckeye fans, and 36% think they shouldn't make the playoff if they lose. That, to me, is high.
Maybe.
We wouldn't really even have to worry about this if we had an 18 playoff.
Oh, my God.
And this hypothetical scenario existed where you had the five conference champions and then a group of five champion, and then you had two at-large bids. Wouldn't that be nice?
Live in the world we're in.
I can dream of a better day.
Well, here's the deal. Ryan Day was asked weeks ago. In fact, I think Joey Kaufman asked him, basically, where do you stand on the playoff? And it's a little skewed because he said he believes conference champions should be in, but that he was kind of talking about an expanded playoff. But if he believes conference championship winners are that important, and he's not one of them, how do you sell that?
But here's the thing. If the way that Ohio State would not get in is if another conference champion doesn't get in. In other words, LSU would get in instead of Ohio State. They would be a not a conference champion if Georgia beats them. So that's not true.
You'd have LSU, right?
They would have not won a conference championship.
I'm saying LSU would be in. Clemson would be in winning the conference championship. Utah would be in winning a conference championship. And Oklahoma would be in, or Baylor, winning a conference championship.
So you're saying, for the sake of argument, that LSU and Ohio State could both be out?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just sake of argument.
I get it.
And it's more of a principled thing.
I get it.
The point being that if that was kind of where you stood coming into this season... And let's face it, Ohio State has been hurt and helped by this. They 2016, sure. They did not win the conference. They did not win it.
Right.
They weren't even in it, and they went. And Alabama, I believe, didn't get into theirs and won it all.
But there are so many more factors other than winning conference championship. Do I think in a perfect world that we should have an 18 playoff with Joey scenario? Yes, I've said that for years. That's fine. 5 automatic qualifiers and 3 at-larges. Perfect. We don't have it. So you're kind of wasting time talking about it because we don't have it. Work for that someday, but move on.
Wasting time talking about it, isn't that? Well, never mind. Go ahead.
We always waste time on this podcast.
Well, you said it. You said it. I didn't. Joey, you're in charge. Obviously, you started out with this, ha-ha. He's taking control of this show. He's wrestled it away from Robo. So why don't you...
That's usually a good thing, though.
Yeah, why don't you continue on, Joey Kaufman, as to where you want to take this show?
Well, I was just sort of bored by the matchups this weekend, all in all. You have... Clemson playing in their title game, they're going to win that. You're going to have Ohio State playing in Wisconsin, they're going to win that. And then maybe the Big 12 and Pac-12 champion gets in, and then you have the SEC title game, but half the games
SEC
don't matter.
Title game's SEC, a big game.
That's a huge
game.
That's the one
LSU.
Game. That's the one game.
So was Oklahoma-Baylor.
That's a rematch. Look how that game went down.
So was Utah-Oregon, for that matter. Utah's got to win.
Okay, that's 3 games. We could have 4 quarterfinal games. What's more, 4 or 3?
I'm glad my hands. I'm washing my hands.
Can we move
this.
On?
Yes. All right. So let's talk about Big Ten Coach of the Year.
Okay.
For the first time since 1979, Earl Bruce taking over for the legendary Woody Hayes. He was the last Ohio State coach to be named voted by media and coaches. Big Ten Coach of the Year. All those years, Jim Tressel. I mean, let's face it, Cooper had some really good seasons, right? Then Urban, the whole thing, 0-for. The Buckeyes have gone 0-for since 79 until this year. Bill, why don't you comment on...
Ryan Day won the media vote for the Big Ten Coach of the Year. P.J. Fleck won the coaches' vote for Big Ten Coach of the Year.
Ryan Day won, so let's just leave it there and say, why did he deserve it, Bill?
Well, first of all, he took over for a legend. That's always a hard thing to do. He took over at the time, he had basically no quarterback. Dwayne Haskins was leaving. Tomorrow, December 4th, is the one-year anniversary of Ryan Day's hiring. And you think about where the program is right now, and it's pretty good. You got Justin Fields, who was at Georgia at this time, had not entered the transfer portal. To go 12-0 in your first year, and to do it the way they've done it, really not been tested thoroughly yet, it's pretty impressive.
He won it because P.J. Fleck of Minnesota lost last weekend. I mean, I think that's a big reason why. If Minnesota had gone to the Big Ten title game, that would have been a very easy pick for media members to slide in and pick P.J. Fleck. But there was no great contender outside Ryan Day. You look at the job. Tom Allen did a nice job at Indiana this year, but okay. P.J. Fleck did a nice job in Minnesota this year, but they didn't win the division when it was all said and done. They were in the top 10 of the playoff rankings at one point, but... they didn't get to Indianapolis even. So I think that made Ryan Day the logical choice. Because in a lot of ways, I feel like they look for reasons not to give it to the Ohio State coach because there's so many institutional advantages that whoever leads this program has. But
I think Day even trumped those this year because of the things Bill said. Hey, let's turn this around real quickly and spend 10 seconds saying, who did the worst job in the Big Ten among coaches this year?
Harbaugh.
No,
I don't think Harbaugh. No. I would say maybe Scott Frost.
No, Mark D'Antonio.
Yeah.
The way they create... I mean,
they had
he didn't
17 starters back.
D'Antonio didn't even try to fix his program. He played musical chairs with his staff.
Yeah.
He didn't even try and hire a great offensive coordinator to modernize their offense. He basically made all their position coaches coach different positions and have a new offensive coordinator who's already on staff. To Jim Harbaugh's credit, he went out and fixed the offense. He hired Josh Gattis. They put up more points against Ohio State than anybody has all season, I believe, and put more yards against Ohio State than anybody else. They got blown out, and the defense has problems. But Jim Harbaugh deserves credit for at least trying to fix his program.
I can buy that. The only thing I'll say is that Michigan State was not supposed to be this great contender in the East. They were supposed to be better than they are. They're 500. Nebraska was supposed to be oversold. We Absolutely. Can admit that. Yeah. But Nebraska was supposed to be good. They're not even bowl eligible. 5 wins. You can't say he's doing a great job there. Maybe not the worst. But
I would go with Antonio.
Okay.
Yep. They were 6-6 this year. They barely beat Maryland at the end of the season. And 4 years ago, they were in the college football playoff. Urban Meyer made the point on Big Noon Kickoff a couple weeks ago how they used to have all these NFL guys on their roster. I don't know what happened to them. Those NFL guys were produced by Mark D'Antonio, and those guys left. So to me, he would get my vote as a media member.
And they do not have a vote for worst coach. But let's take our break. Listen, get a word from our sponsor, our great sponsors, Raising Cane's and Rosati Windows, and we'll be right back. When Rosati Windows arrives at an in-home consultation, we always tell our customer that a house can't talk to you, but it typically will give you signs that something isn't right. A home's windows are particularly communicative. Although they don't last forever, a high-quality, well-maintained window could last for many, many years. One, such as a Rosati window. However, at some point, they may not be at their best, so listen carefully to what they are telling you, and you will know that it's time to have them replaced. Are there drafts? Are they damaged or warped? Do they stick when you close or open them? If you answer yes to any of these, it may be time to call Rosati Windows for an at-home consultation. Learn more at rosatiwindows.com.
Let's talk more worst.
What?
Joey's feeling something happening today?
What's going on with you, Joseph? What's in that coffee? What's in that eggnog? That's what I want to know.
Good stuff.
Back to where's your beef? What's your beef?
Well, you want to talk about the worst Big Ten coaching job. Do you have any more worst categories you want to go through?
We were talking about the best coach, so who did the worst job?
I like worst awards, though.
We can tell.
Yeah. Who's doing the worst job on this podcast right now? Is there a vote? No, we will stay away from that. All right, so let's get to Brian Day's press conference today. What came out of that?
What? Call him Brian Day?
No, Ryan.
Oh, Ryan.
I thought he said Brian too.
No, Ryan
well,
Day.
I was going to let it slide.
I have messed up names, but I'm not Ryan. Okay. I'm not Ryan. I'm not messing up Ryan Day by calling him Brian Day.
Yeah, take it easy on Brian.
Yeah. So what came out of it? My take, you guys, I want to hear your comments on this. The most interesting thing was they brought Justin Fields in, and he got grilled, of course, about the MCL injury and how it affected him and how it may affect him for Wisconsin. Bill, why don't you chime in on that?
Yeah, grilled, I wouldn't say it was grilled, but yeah, he was questioned. I mean, yeah, because that's the topic when you talk to Justin Fields. He said his knee is still painful. He's going to wear that bulky lineman's brace in the game. It will kind of impede him in terms of running, but safety's more important. He said he will play. The pain's not going to be a factor. He will play. So, it seems like Ohio State's always going to the Big Ten championship game with quarterback health questions. 14, of course. JT Barrett got hurt, broke his ankle in the Michigan game, and Cardale Jones, of course, famously came on. And then 2 years ago, JT Barrett had the camera incident in Ann Arbor and had arthroscopic surgery and played, 6 days later? I don't think this is that kind of scenario. I think Justin Fields is in much better shape than JT was a couple years ago, but it's going to be an issue.
You know, Ryan Day, coach of the year, but no one really has talked about this. Justin Fields gets hurt in the Penn State game on his last snap and maybe shouldn't have been in there. That game was out of hand. You almost lose the fears of losing your quarterback by playing him too late. He did get hurt.
I don't think it was playing him too late. It was the type of play call they ran.
Okay, well,
they had him run out to the boundary. If he's late in the game with Justin Fields, have him give the ball to J.K. Dobbins or Master Teague, or I can't remember exactly the yardage point, but couldn't they have punted or kicked a field goal?
My point is things happen. And, you know, that could have been the turning point of the season right there if he'd have been out.
Of course.
And so, interesting that he's back. As Bill said, this Big Ten championship game is like gimp along QB for Ohio State. And we discussed this post-game after Michigan. Could Chris Chuganoff, if they started, Chris Chuganoff against Wisconsin, and he played, let's just say, the entire game. Does Ohio State win? What are your thoughts on that, Joey? I know you have an opinion on this. What do you think?
I don't really have an opinion on that, actually. I think they might win.
Well, come up with an opinion.
I think they would be more likely. I think they could win because they have J.K. Dobbins, and they would give him the ball a lot, and they would probably score more points than Wisconsin because I don't think Wisconsin can put up that many points against this Ohio State defense. So it would be a slot fest, but they would win.
I think they could beat Wisconsin. I think it'd be a... I mean, right now, I think it's a 90% chance they beat Wisconsin. I think...
90%? Oh, with Fields.
With Fields.
Well, that was going to be real bold.
Oh, you mean with Chug?
No.
Yeah, I thought he meant with Chug.
If it were a full game of Chug, it would be 60%. But I don't think they could win a playoff game with Chug.
Well, I would agree with that. And I think it's... I'm about with you. Maybe it's 55-45 with Chug against Wisconsin.
Because that seems right.
You lose the passing game... except for maybe some simple stuff. Well,
I wouldn't say. Justin Fields gives you things that the scrambling ability, the ability to make those out patterns, through those out routes,
zone
just opens
stuff.
The field for you.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So you're basically down to J.K. Dobbins, Master Teague, trying to out-pound Wisconsin.
Well, I think Chuck can throw the ball downfield.
It's speculation.
Run some tunnel screens.
Right.
Who doesn't love a tunnel screen?
Anyhow,
some bubble screens.
So it sounds like Justin Fields will play.
Yes.
If you're looking for news, he says he will play and will be hindered somewhat, at least at this moment. Who knows by Saturday? I assume he'd be improved. But the brace itself makes running a little trickier.
It's basically a lineman's brace, so it's not really intended for you to cut super well in space.
Right.
I think it actually matters whether he's close to 100%. Because this is a game where Ohio State, you're looking for a reason why this game matters. It matters that they win convincingly because you want to hold on to that number one spot in the playoff rankings. You want to be the top team so you don't face Clemson. And if LSU throttles Georgia and Ohio State just looks so-so against Wisconsin, they win by 10 points, 14 points, less than impressive. Maybe that gives the committee an excuse to flip-flop those teams and put LSU 1. And then Ohio State is 2 playing Clemson. And you want to obviously not play the defending champion in the first round?
I think it depends how the game goes. If the offense struggles, but the defense is its stout self, I think you get a little bit of a pass because Justin Fields is banged up and injured.
Right, I agree.
So if your offense looks really good and your defense gets shredded by the ground game, I don't anticipate that, then maybe it's a different story.
But it could be a case where Justin Fields doesn't look injured or look gimpy and then doesn't play that well, and maybe the committee is not that convinced he's actually that hurt. So you I'm just leave it up to some chance. If you blow them out, you leave it up to less chance.
I'm not convinced the committee's that sharp. I think they're very intelligent people, but they're like everybody else. Once the TV comes on and every 2 minutes you're seeing a picture of that brace and the announcer's talking about it over and over, it's going to influence them.
One interesting thing about the way the Big Ten championship game is set up is it's an 8 p.m. kickoff Eastern time. So it's the last conference championship game that's played. Pac-12 plays Friday. SEC, Big 12 play earlier in the day. SEC or ACC kickoff is at 7:30. So Ohio State is going to form the last impression in the mind of the committee members, and they all watch together there and somewhere in the Dallas suburbs.
Okay, we're going to take a second break to hear from our sponsors, and we'll be right back to the Buckeye Extra Podcast Football Edition.
Hey, football fans. Leave the Hail Marys for the game and go for a sure thing when it comes to satisfying your craving. When you pick up Raising Cane's for game day, all you have to worry about is the score, because we've got the food covered. With hand-battered, cooked-to-order, always fresh, never ever frozen chicken fingers, craveable cane sauce, and jugs of freshly made tea and lemonade. Raising Cane's Chicken Fingers, proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics. One love.
Okay, we're back. What else came out of the press conference? I thought, Bill, you were going down a line of questioning that, you know, again, it's been a year. For Ryan Day, he doesn't like to reflect. Coaches hate the word
not
reflect.
In the middle of the year. Well, I think what came across, not so much in his answer, but the answer of some of the players who were asked about Day, there is genuine affection for this guy. I don't want to compare, because comparing is, you know, whatever, but I'm not sure there was like genuine affection in that way for Urban Meyer. There was a lot of respect. And I think that he knew that he cared about them and respected him as a coach, respected him as a man. I get the sense that these guys really enjoy playing for Ryan Day. just the way, I forget who it was at the end that talked about, just, he has an open door policy. You can walk in there. They got the fireplace in the office
Austin
now.
Austin Mack.
And you could just tell, it's not so much the words, I mean, that's part of it, but just the reaction, just the way that they kind of beam when they talk about him. I just think it's, you know, taking nothing away from Urban Meyer, because he's top 10 coach in college football history. But I think the change ended up being a good one for Ohio State. They feel revitalized. They clearly is not in over his head. And they've got a 40-year-old coach who, assuming that he wants to stay here, and all indications are he does, his family loves it, they want to settle down, he could be here for a long time and be a tremendous coach for a long time here.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we've said many times on this show, right guy, right time, right place. And it's interesting that you mentioned that about Urban. We don't want to tangent too much here, but I tend to agree with you, Bill. I would say that I think early in Urban's tenure here, he might have been a little more beloved by players because they went from being, you know,
the 6-7 year.
Yeah, 6-7 to winning, going 12-0. And I think just the success, I think there was a connection, a real bond with Urban and that team. And then you move ahead to 14. I think he had some close relationships.
Absolutely.
On that team. But 15, 16, 17, 18, I think it got increasingly, you know, as we've talked on this show again, the grind and just right. How he just, you know, he worked guys. And I had the same message over and over. I said from day one that Urban was a 5-7 year guy because he just works his, he works the players and the coaches into the dust.
The 2012 team, there was, you know, pushback from the players. You're working us too hard, we're grinding us too hard, and he basically said, this is the way we do it. And they got with the program.
Reminiscent of 1969 Bo Schembechler coming into Michigan,
yep.
Which drove off players. But those who remain will be champions. They were champions, and that team, they were beloved. The coach-player relationship on those on that 69 Michigan team and moving forward was not unlike Urban coming in 2012 and doing what he did. Okay, so any final thoughts?
Jeff Hafley also talked today. He promoted about half the team for awards. Maybe he'll be gunning for Jerry Emick's job as a sports information director. Well, but he was really promoting guys. He was sort of
he's up
doing
for
that duty.
He's up
yeah,
for, he's,
Broyles Award.
What's the Broyles? Explain what that is for our listeners.
Top assistant coach in the country. So he's up with four other guys. Joe Brady, the passing game coordinator at LSU's. Probably the favorite for that award because of his work with Joe Burrow, and Joe Burrow's the Heisman candidate, so maybe that'll be a package deal. But outside of Brady, I would think Hafley would have a really good chance to win that award.
I would think so, too, and I don't know how closely the voters look at this. That maybe one thing hurting Jeff Hafley. I mean, you look at last year's defense, this year's defense. Incredible turnaround, but I don't think that you can credit Hafley completely for that because he's co-coordinator, and you've got Greg Madison, right, who's kind of there too. So that's sort of a split deal about, we don't know even to this, right at this moment, how much of it was Hafley, a lot, well, how much of it's Madison.
Well, the Broyles Award, originally there are 40 nominees, and those are nominated by the schools. The schools pick somebody they push for the award. So it was interesting that Ohio State put forth Jeff Hafley and not Greg Madison. Because that's submitted by Ohio State. That's who they chose to push for the award.
Well, Halfway's also got a position group in Madison. He works with the Sam linebackers, but not as much, not formally.
Has Larry Johnson ever won the award? I would assume that Larry Johnson.
Ooh, that's a good question.
It skews heavily toward coordinators.
Yeah,
it's been a long time. I could look this up now, but it's been a long time since a non-coordinator actually won
Although he is associate head coach. He's number two technically, right? Larry Johnson?
That's related to compensation more than job duties.
The other thing about Hafley is Buckeye fans should enjoy him while they've got him because his name is already circulating in connection with jobs. If Rutgers had not gone to Shiano, we'd spend a whole podcast on that. Hafley, being a New Jersey guy, would have been a leading contender. He's now being mentioned for the Boston College job. So is Al Washington, who played and coached at BC also. So those two guys are kind of being mentioned in connection with that job. You know, the rumor mill is what it is.
It's turning.
That makes sense.
It's turning.
Yeah, I saw that Washington was his name. And who would he bring with him? Do you see who we might?
Yeah.
Don Brown. Don Brown from Michigan. Very interesting.
Ohio State fans are very opposed to that hire.
Yeah, who would you say is the favorite Ohio State defensive coordinator? Jeff Hafley or Don Brown? in the minds of Ohio State fans.
Oh, my gosh.
It's happening.
Yeah, who's their,
who's their favorite coach? Might be Jim Harbaugh.
Right. Harbaugh forever, right? Harbaugh, wasn't the banner?
Harbaugh forever. Okay, well, we're going to wrap it up here. Final thoughts on the Big Ten championship game. We always give our prediction. I haven't given it a lot of thought, maybe because I just sort of assume Ohio State's going to win this game. Wrong, always wrong to assume.
Didn't I, too?
Okay, yeah.
Well, I had to do a prediction already. So
what'd you have?
45-17, Ohio State.
Okay, I'll say 42-13.
Now, look, Wisconsin is a really good team. They're not maybe peak Wisconsin, but they're good. The problem is that they don't match up well with Ohio
State.
That's
what it's like. It's like basketball, right?
Yeah.
It's all about the matchups.
Yeah.
Come March Madness, and this is not a good matchup,
especially
for
indoors.
The Badgers
and all that stuff.
Yeah, Joey.
Ohio State by 3 touchdowns, 4 touchdowns,
5, 6. Keep going. Why not?
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, they're going to win by many points. They're going to cover the spread. I don't know what it'll be. It'll probably relate to their interest level in the game.
This is only the deep analysis that you can only get here on the Buckeye Podcast, Buckeye Extra Podcast. I'll let you take us out, Joey.
You can take us out.
This is your show today.
I did my little bit in the beginning. I wanted to get that off my chest.
The headphones are already off. Billy's almost out the door. So for
this is where we talk about like pineapples or fruit, right?
This is
the Rob Oller segment.
Yeah, you know, it's the people that have been waiting for. So I guess we do have to say. I didn't know you were a coffee drinker there. Is that coffee, Joey, or is that hot chocolate you've got over here?
It's coffee.
And a banana. Coffee-banana combo.
Potassium.
Yeah,
okay.
Boys.
All right. Bill's out of here. For Bill Rabinowitz, Joey Kaufman, I'm Rob Oller. Check us out Thursday on iTunes. Joey, you're going to have
a guest on. They'll see who it is.
Okay. We'll keep it secret. Thanks for joining us. Bye-bye.
The Buckeye Extra Podcast is brought to you by Rosati Windows, Central Ohio's #1 replacement window company, and Raising Cane's Chicken Fingers. Game day tastes better with Raising Cane's tailgates full of 24-hour marinated and battered chicken fingers.
Be sure and subscribe to the Buckeye Extra Podcast in the iTunes Store, the Google Play Store, or on Stitcher.